As I have grappled with today's gospel passage, there is one memory that has been my near companion. Visiting my Grandma O's house 2 years after her death. After she died and the family cleaned out her house, there was no reason to be in Eau Claire anymore. Then one day, as David and I were driving back from somewhere else in Wisconsin, we were nearby, and I thought, why not? Let's see what it looks like. What surprised me in that moment, the first time I had seen it since I sold, was my sudden and deep tears. For 30 years of my life, Grandma O's house had meant love, safety, and family. I had spent many weeks of each year there, countless hours when I was little playing make-believe with other cousins. As I aged, countless hours taking care of younger cousins, and then when I reached adulthood, learning how to make her fried rice and other foods. Although I would not have had the vocabulary for it at the time, Grandma O's house was a holy place for me. When my grandparents had purchased it in the 70s, it was 5 acres that sat outside of the small city of Eau Claire. By the time I was a teenager, Eau Claire had moved to surround it with half-acre subdivisions. Before Grandma O died, she requested that the family spend one last Thanksgiving there, and then her 10 children sell the house. One of those children disagreed, wanting to keep things the way that they were. Yet without her there, this was not possible, and so the home sold. The developer who bought it eventually added about 4 or 5 other houses to the property. Although I knew all of this had happened and I was in support of the sale, seeing those new houses around the old revealed a fragile place in my soul. During that visit, I knew that eventually I could rejoice in the new homes and new families that were there. Eventually, I could rejoice in the new possibilities that my family had, not being burdened by a house where nobody lived. Yet in that moment, that which we had known was gone, that which symbolized love to us was gone and inhabited by others. And we were left to imagine new ways to be family to carry the spirit of Grandma O on. There was no certainty. And in that moment, I could only mourn. Today's readings from Isaiah and Luke seem to be opposites. We begin with Isaiah's poetic images. For I am about to create a new heavens and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. In Luke, Jesus says about the temple, as for these things you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon the other. All things will be thrown down. Then Jesus follows with future famines and disasters, concluding with personal persecution for the disciples. In the middle of this, he counsels them not to worry. He exhorts them to endure. I want to explain away the passage of Luke with the beautiful images of Isaiah, yet that would not be a faithful reading. Instead, we're going to engage them both with holy curiosity. I can guarantee at the end of this homily, we will not have all of the answers, but we can ask how this passage, both passages, are speaking to us today. And that is enough. Both passages were originally written for a particular people at a particular time and still contain wisdom for us. Today's part of Isaiah has been written for people who have been exiled, who have experienced a deep displacement and uprooting similar to the scale of that in Luke. Isaiah's poetry offers hope and consolation. Luke takes place in Jerusalem post-Palm Sunday. It's a part of Jesus' final teaching to his disciples before their Last Supper together. In days, his disciples' lives will be upended by Jesus' persecution and death. They will be thrown into fear until his resurrection. Luke was written after the temple in Jerusalem fell. And so we know this event happened. The original readers knew this event happened. And then Jesus brings us out of that event. The warnings of false prophets, wars, earthquakes, famines, and plagues are more general. That's why they sound like they could be describing today. And that's why we are unsettled by it. This part is apocalyptic. As our guest preacher Andrew McGowan shared last week, apocalyptic literature is not meant to be lined up with exact events that are happening today so that we can say with certainty, the last days will be this date. Instead, the unsettling images originally were to assure those following Jesus to continue to trust in God when life challenged them beyond what they thought they could handle, when life broke their heart. And to drive that point home, Jesus makes those challenges even more personal. As followers of Jesus, we are called to put our hope in the images of Isaiah while engaging the question of Luke. What does faithfulness in God look like when our hearts are breaking and our life is uncertain? Jesus begins by reminding us to not be too fixated on temporary human institutions. Like the temple, they may serve their purpose for a time. They may point many to God, but they are not God. They are only temporary. Jesus instructs his disciples not to be terrified, not to fear. We could spend all of our lives living in this spiritual practice. Jesus instructs his disciples and us not to prepare when we are called to testify. Trust in the Holy Spirit moving and dancing within you. Jesus instructs his disciples and us to endure, to persist, because we are loved and cared for in a way that Isaiah points to and is still being revealed in our world. In Jesus' response, there is also room for us to wonder, what does faithfulness look like for us when our hearts are breaking and life is uncertain? My imagination brings me back to Grandma's O's house, because for me, it is the building that most pointed to the holy in my life. In remembering the moment that I wept, I know a faithful response to God's question, to Jesus' question, is what do I need to mourn so that I can embrace God's future? Because after the moment in which I mourned, I was able to let go. I no longer need to drive by the house in Eau Claire. Although at times I do imagine it and the new families that reside there and wish them well. Instead, I now wonder about where my family is called to honor the spirit she gave us while creating new traditions, gatherings, and places to be. If we are called to join God's work in creating a new thing in this world, if we are called to dream of Isaiah's new heavens, sometimes first we need to weep and let go of that which was beautiful. At times that work is slow, and it is always holy. In those moments and fragile places of our soul, God is there, dwelling with us and working within us. This is one of two Sundays left in the very long season after Pentecost. Next week, which we call Christ the King, we return to Jesus' crucifixion before beginning our Christian year over with Advent. These final Sundays are here to break our defenses open, to reveal those fragile spots within our souls that we can do the hard work of preparing for Jesus coming again in Bethlehem. In this time, we are all called to reflect, to ask, and to wonder, what does faithfulness look like when our hearts are breaking and our lives are uncertain?